He listened really, really carefully, just the way that the boys and girls were listening this week in Holiday Bible Club. He was listening because he didn't want to miss a word. God was speaking, and God was saying, Noah, I want you to build an ark, this great big, big boat. It's going to be 159 meters long, 26 meters wide, and 16 meters high. And you can convert that into old money if you're not sure what that is. I want you to make three decks in this great big ark. I want you to make just one door and then cover it all with pitch. And this great big ark, well, it was going to be something like the size of the Titanic. I'm sure many of you have seen what that looks like. It was huge. Sometimes maybe when we think of the ark, we think of something small, but this was a really, really, really big boat. But why was God asking Noah to do this? Well, again, his word reminds us of why. When God had made everything, and we read this morning from Genesis chapter 1, and when God made everything, everything was perfect. Everything was just how God wanted it to be. But as time had gone on, people had turned their backs on God. People were sinning, and everything that God had made was now different. And as he looked into the world, he seen that people were telling lies, that people were fighting, that people were stealing, people were cheating, and it made God really sad. But then if God were to look into the world today, is it any different? Because surely as God looks into the world today, perhaps we would nearly say that days are worse than they are in the days of Noah. But what we do learn is that when God sees those things, things can't just be overlooked, because God must punish sin. God was going to take action, and he got Noah to take action as well. Noah began to work, and he began to work on the ark, and he began to do all the sawing and the hammering and the banging that was needed, started to work on the ark. Where's my next picture? It's hiding in there somewhere. And he was working away on the ark. And perhaps as people seen him working at the ark, they were saying, Noah, what are you doing? And he said, I'm building an ark because God has said there's going to be a flood. A flood, Noah? Sure, there's never even been any rain. How is there going to be a flood? Don't be silly. But Noah was willing to obey God. He was willing to work on, even though other people perhaps thought this is a silly idea, Noah continued to work on. He continued to serve God in a faithful way. He did that for 120 years. There we are. 120 years. He was busy working at this ark. He was busy preaching to the people and telling the people that they needed to tell God that they were sorry for their sin. And all the while, the people weren't listening. All the while, the people were perhaps laughing, thinking this is just a joke. We really don't need to do this. Noah, you're a really crazy person. Why do you continue to do this? Why do you continue to believe this? It's not possible. But Noah continued to work away, faithfully doing what God had asked him to do. And then one day, the people listened. And as he listened, there was silence. There was no more hammering or banging or sawing. There was just silence. Because at last, the ark was finished. But Noah still wasn't finished because he had to gather lots of food. And again, you could almost picture that happening, bringing all this food in and people saying, now what are you doing? What are you up to now? This is what I need to do. Noah, why don't you just give up? This is a really silly idea. But still Noah pressed on, doing what God wanted him to do. And then it happened. The animals came from everywhere. Can you see some of the animals on the screen here? There's giraffes, there's elephants, there's ostriches, there's zebras. Whatever animal you can think of, it was going into the ark. And people say, how could that ever happen? God's word says it was God who made the animals. So if God was able to make the animals, he was able to direct the animals to come to the ark. And God's word reminds us that they came in pairs, a boy animal and a girl animal. And in some cases, they came in sevens. They were coming in to the ark just as God had worked it out. So that's what all the food was for. That's what was going on. The people still could see all what was happening. But still the people would not believe. Noah was saying, look, the only way you're going to be saved from this flood that's coming is for you to come into the ark. God is good. God is giving you an opportunity. Come into the ark because the flood is coming. The people didn't want to believe. The people were hard towards the things of God. They didn't want to listen to what Noah said. They felt, well, I'll go my own way. I'll do my own thing. Why do I need to listen to what Noah says or what God has to say? But Noah, that faithful servant of God, he believed what God had to say. And he, his wife, her three sons, and their three wives, they went in to the ark. Boys and girls, how many people were in the ark? Can you remember that from during the week? How many? Just 8 people. Well done, Evie. Just 8 people were in the ark. All the other people they had heard, all the other people they had the opportunity to go in to be safe from the flood, but they chose to stay outside of the ark. The only safe place to be was in the ark, but they were outside the ark. You see, God's word reminds us that because God is holy, he must always punish sin. Sometimes in life we can do something and say, well, I didn't get in any trouble for that. It'll be all right. You know, I got my own way on that. But God will always punish sin. And today in this meeting house, the reality is that every one of us have sinned. How do I know that? Because God's word says, it says we've all sinned and fallen short of his standards. And God is so gracious to us because he wants to save us. Not through an ark, but through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 we read, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, those who put their trust in Jesus, they've nothing to fear. They've nothing to fear because they're safe. Not through an ark, but through a Savior. He's the one who can save you today. He's the one that can make you right and ready for heaven. Only the Lord Jesus could do that, boys and girls, because he was perfect. He wasn't like me. He wasn't like you. He never did anything wrong. He never sinned. He never told lies. He never stole anything. There was never a bad word came out of his mouth. He never thought wrong thoughts. He was the perfect one. And yet he was willing to give his life for every one of us. Every one of us in this meeting house today, we're hearing that message. We're aware of the warning. But I wonder, will we believe? Will we trust in Jesus as our Savior? And then there was the bang. The door of the ark was shut. But it wasn't Noah who had shut the door. It was God. The door was shut. The animals were in. The 8 people were in. Everyone else was outside. And the scriptures remind us that once the door was shut, there was still no rain. Day 1, there was no rain. Day 2, there was no rain. Day 3, there was no rain. And perhaps the people outside were laughing and saying, Noah, give up on this idea. Don't you realize how foolish you are? Don't you realize the longer this goes on that you're a laughing stock? Why don't you just come out? Why don't you realize that this isn't going to happen? But Noah continued to trust in God. For 7 days, there was no rain. But then it happened. The rains came down, and the floodwaters came up. You see, God had promised that he would send the flood. God had said that was going to happen, and as those dark clouds arose and the rain came down and the rains came up, perhaps there were people coming to that ark that day, banging on the door. Noah, let us in now. We see you were right. Let us in. We're sorry for what we said. We're sorry for laughing at you. Please, could you let us in? But it was too late. God's word says that everyone who was outside the ark, they were lost. They were drowned. Rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And Paul was reminding us earlier from that teaching, it wasn't just a one little place, it was a worldwide flood. The whole world was flooded. But again, going back to that verse in Romans 8, it says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, for those who are in Christ, there's no fear. There's no dread. And for Noah's family, they had obeyed God. They were safe as they were inside the ark. And boys and girls, men and women, today I remind you that Jesus is the only one who can make us right and ready for heaven. But up on the screen, you'll see some other doors that some people try. Some people try these different doors as a way of getting to heaven. Some people say, well, you know, I'm a good person. Speaking to someone this week who said that to me, I'm a good person, and surely God will let me into heaven. But being good, and you can be as good as you can try to be, but just being good won't get us into heaven. Some people say, well, should I go to church? Surely at the end of it all, because I go to church, I'll get into heaven. And some people think just by coming to church, they're a Christian. But as someone said, just by going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. So coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. Just coming to church won't make you right for heaven. Good works. Well, again, some people think that's it. I do all these good things to help people. I would do a good turn before I would do a bad turn. Good works. My good works will outweigh my bad works. Surely I'll get into heaven. That's the door. But again, God's word reminds us that it's not through good works. A few other doors here on the screen. Parents on the right-hand side of the screen. Again, maybe today there's somebody here and you think, well, you know, my mum, my dad, my granny, somebody belonging to me is a Christian. Surely I'll get into heaven because of that. No, that's not how it works. It's got to be a personal thing. I said right at the beginning of the service today, this was the day, all those 36 years ago, when I personally put my trust in a Savior. When God spoke into my life, when I realized I was a sinner, when I did an about turn from that sin, and I confessed Jesus Christ as my Savior. I wasn't depending on someone else. No one else could save me. Only Jesus could save me. So parents cannot save us. Prayers, people say, well, you know, I never go to bed without saying my prayers. And that's a good thing, but just going over prayers will not save you. Jesus is the only door. Indeed, Jesus said, I am the door. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Maybe you've been trying some of these other doors. Maybe you've been thinking, that's the way, or possibly that's the way. Let me tell you, Jesus is the only way. Is he your Savior today? Have you trusted in him today? All those other things, they'll not count for anything at the end of life's journey. We have got to put our trust in Jesus. He alone is the answer for our sin problem. He alone is the one who can make us right and ready for heaven. Boys and girls, you're listening really well. Here's my last picture for you this morning. And it's Noah and his family back out of the ark. Can you imagine they were in that ark for almost a year? I don't like boats. I'm glad God never asked me to build an ark and go on it for a year. But Noah had faithfully done that. And for almost a year, he'd been in there. He'd obeyed God. And The first thing he did was when he came out, he worshipped God. He thanked God for being with him. He thanked God for keeping them safe. And then God put that rainbow in the sky to remind them that he would never again flood the whole world. How great, how wonderful is our God. And today we can be saved. Some people say, well, I'm not sure if he can really be sure about these things. We can. We can be sure. We can be sure of a Savior. Again, I quote that verse, Romans 8 and 1. There is now, this day, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Tell me this morning, are you in Christ Jesus? All those years ago, the people, they heard the message. And those who rejected, they remained outside. They were lost. I wonder today, are you in Christ or are you out of Christ? Are you in his kingdom or are you outside his kingdom? Today, are you saved or are you still lost? I remind you that Jesus is the only one. And in love today, we say to you to come and trust in the Savior. Come and be sure today. Don't remain outside where there's danger, but come inside. Know the joy of sins forgiven. Know the joy of living for him day by day. And know the joy of one day being with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever in heaven. May that be your joy. May that be your assurance this very morning. Let us pray together.